Hi from Nadia. Today I have the pleasure to have Frederick in our recording studio, and we're going to talk about last Purtus meeting, and we want to know Frederick's vision about it because of all the concerns that were brought up recently after this Vikram Ram's allegations and all the things going on around it. So can you before explain a bit what happened and why the town is so much concerned right now?
It was organized by what they call revival, renaissance, the attempt to bring back something of the original action of the community, which at that time was called Purtus, 40 years ago. And there are certain similarities. This community at that time, it might have been 200-300 only, were fused together into a collective action because they were under attack from outside. That time we were threatened to be expelled from the country. We were threatened to be imprisoned. We were imprisoned. We were beaten up. It was a real war. And that brought us together. The Matrimandir, which now has been built, the soul of Auroville, was just a hole in the ground. But we would still come together, hold together, and be one. I think without the revival group knowing it, what happened on Monday was a beginning of that emerging oneness. Nobody really quite knows what a collective being is, what a collective management is, what a collective psychic being, what a collective soul is. Even if you look through all the books of Sri Aurobindo, he speaks about the individual psychic, he speaks about the soul, the mother. But a collective, he speaks about the nation soul. He speaks about the soul of a country, India. But as a group, as a community, Sri Aurobindo had this idea even in his revolutionary time of having a mandir, of having something of a group of devoted warriors for India's freedom. So what happened is that I don't want to dwell too long on the accusation and the allegation and the thing, because it triggered something off, which was latent there. The hope of the community was very strong. Let us get together. And it seems to me that we still are in that level of consciousness that we need the catastrophe. We need the urgency. We need the attack for us to come together. This is because once we would reach a consciousness of oneness, then we would not need the opposition. We would act without being challenged, but we still need to be challenged.
We're still on a journey.
On the journey. It is in many ways like many other places, like Israel, got together because it is without the surrounding Arab threat, maybe they would have never made it into one statehood, who knows. So, taking it from there, the meeting itself was one of the most attended in my memory. We had some of them where you might say 80%, 90% of the community came together at that time, but the community only was 400, so that would have been 250 or something. We had at least four, I don't know what the number is.
I think we were hundreds, more than usual. Like 700-800 could be. Outside, yeah. It was packed.
Packed, no?
And for me, I'm a newcomer and I've been here for 3 years and I've never seen such an amount of people in a collective meeting.
Now, I can't really put my finger on it, but there is a truth in it. If you have been to big football games, you have been to big crowds on the streets in Berlin, in the streets in New York or Paris, there are demonstrations. There is a kind of synergetic effect. But often it is in a very fighting mood. It is in a, climbing the thing, burning the thing. But this one was a very quiet one. It was actually, must give credit to the organizer, they kept a certain softness to the whole thing, a feminine aspect of it.
There were women indeed.
I'm a bit allergic to the too much holding hands and too much brotherhood, in the sense if it's too much announced, because we were often cheated by that one, even at that time. Trust me, I'm your brother, but you better watch your back at that moment. But I think it worked. And coming to my assessment of the meeting, though there is a energy, and also for the first time a lot of young people were there, I feel that I feel externally, you might say, Auroville is in a very endangered situation in the moment. I don't think there will be really nothing can happen to the true Auroville, but the external forms will be shaken. And there is a strange dichotomy in me that externally it looks like a mess, but internally I'm quite happy about it. Because we had reached a certain comfort zone in Auroville and things became a bit stationary. You know, I go to my tennis, I go to this, I go a bit here. I mean, I'm 80 years now, maybe I have I'm allowed to do a little bit slower. But I felt, yeah, it's the beginning of a waking up. We could have, if we had intuit the gathering and the energy with the young people and everybody there, I think the first hour should have been spent on something else than just reading out the text which was there. It's important that we look at it together, but don't overdo it. We could have at that time already formulated more spent on actual action taken. So by the time it was read out, it was already six-ish.
Yeah.
It was too late. And then there was a kind of rhythm, and then the revival, we meet every Monday. So we meet next time, January, the first Monday. I said, what? This is impossible. The Titanic is sinking and we are rearranging the deck chairs here. What is this? So I made this comment. And I also felt there is something which is very difficult to... And it actually came to me when I thought about the Matrimandia, which is now, for me, the soul is like an atomic power station in becoming active. It's radiating out now. It is building the city in some way or other. And we call the center the mother, the Shakti. And she has her four daughters and whatever. But the Shakti actually is the power. Now, strangely enough, I always associated power with a male quality. And the vision and the knowledge, the cow, the go, is the consciousness, while the power is the horse, the kashwa, and so on. But actually, in this moment, I realized that the power to manifest is with the woman, is a female energy. So I felt we now have to take the power. We have to be open that the power comes through us. We have always shunned away from actually power here in our administrative thing. No, I'm not an executive body. Mm-hmm. You go to all the bodies here. No, we are not executive bodies. We are, the working, we are not the police. So I think the time has come now that either the community or we empower one group, a task force, or the existing group to execute power. They have to make statements. They have to say, if you totally misbehave, there has to be some consequences. There has to be some, I'm not talking about penalty clauses, but you have to be understood that you can't just do what you want and act as you wish.
So in a way, a new inner regulation.
An
that
inner
is manifested.
Self-regulating force. And I feel the follow-up now is very important.
Yeah, what would you suggest as a follow-up after this
Well,
meeting?
I think there has to be taking stock. We have to look at the accusation, but we also shouldn't spend too much time on it because 90% is just whipping up panic. We don't should also give too much power and attention to the attacker. It should just trigger us off to formulate something positive. There have to be a self-scrutiny in Oroville. Certain things have gone astray, it's true. And we should not wait for an outside savior, the government or the governing board or X, Y, Z, who comes and sorts out our mess. We have to now take it in our own hand. We have made, and it looks to me after 50 years, maybe we are now slowly becoming mature enough to take up. The Act gives us this power. Even though they might say legalistically the governing board has a overall superintendence and supervision, let it be like it's okay. But the freedom to organize our own affairs is with us, and the duty and the onus to do it is with us. We can't outsource this. So what I suggest is there is a need for a task force, but there is a much more regular gathering of the people. It might not be forever, but for the next 3-4 weeks, we have to meet more often. We have to bundle the energy. We have to say there should be no vindictiveness on our part. You know, it's like maybe they took an unfortunate job of doing it, but this job had to be done to pointing things out. Whatever their personal motives are, I'm not interested in that.
And so, do you see any comparison between this time and the time where you were fighting for the independence of Oroville?
Yeah. I mean...
Also, you know, in a resolutive way, because at the time you were triggered by a possible attack and you were attacked actually.
I was attacked, I was in prison, I was beaten up, I was in hospital.
What was the quality? What was the thing that made you solve the situation? If you have to go
at
back.
At that time?
Yes.
You know, we were very, it was a world of ideals. And when the mother, an old lady sitting in Pondicherry, inviting the youth of the world to come and build her city, and they're coming. They're hopping off into caravans and coming. So I don't know whether you can imagine this kind of people now look at, how is it possible? Why? What did you think? Or they ask us, what did you think with the mother going to die? This was not in our mind, you know. So it is like a world of dreamers, and dreamers, but in the good sense, in the actual dream, and a world of ideals. And when you are challenged in that, there is a useful naivete, which says, get out of my way. I am doing it now. You know, if you look at children, they know what they want. And there is a kind of simplicity in that strength. That was there. We were rattled. We had no food. We had no money. We had no housing. It was all very primitive. This is going to be more difficult. The mother was asked whether there would be a third world war. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, it will be more dangerous because the enemy will be within. There will not be the Arab or the Navajata from the society. It is within us. And it's more difficult. It expects a greater awareness, a greater consciousness, a greater power of also discernment. You know, there's an interesting flow of things when mother was asked about what will be the next thing which will manifest in the new world. And the person, I think Sat Prem, says, it will be love. And she says, yeah, but for that love to be able to live here, to be in this world, it needs protection, a power of protection. And that power can only come if you have the discernment, the viveka, the discrimination. This power can only be in the hands of people to know how to handle this power. So this is exactly what is now happening. We have to say, yes, the Shakti, we are ready to sacrifice, to serve in your name. And the Shakti will come, but then we also have to have the power to discern, to say we cannot use it for any other means than to build her city. And I think this is like an intense course of getting together and identifying what is the next step in Auroville towards her dream, which I think in us, we have to be aware that what's happening in the world, you can't even open the papers or the TV anymore, but in a microscopic level, that's happening here. We have our Putins here, we have our Trumps here, we have our whatever.
Yeah, we have our, in a way, world politics within ourselves. Here. Yeah.
And there is this occult knowledge, if you can solve it in a minuscule, miniature way, it has underground its repercussion on a larger thing. You know?
So that you mean that if we solve our issues here, that will be beneficial for the world?
You know,
well,
there is a very interesting conversation when Sri Aurobindo is asked about, but how is it going to be? There is one or two people in the cave alone and being happy and reaching nirvana and happiness. How does it help? And he says, we are not spreading out. We are not making propaganda. Propaganda is for religion. But if one being can bring down from that new consciousness one formulation, it will have its effect all over the world. And he brings as an illustration the one which fired up the masses in the end of the 18th century in France, Egalité, Liberté, Fraternité. That, he says, we can assume it was brought down, channeled down into this terrestrial world and then hit the masses at the right moment. Now, there's certain ideas here, if we can, we're doing it as a laboratory. For example, no possession.
Mm.
It's very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult. And we are not only talking about material possession, we are talking about everything. Your preferred idea, it is my idea, that's a possession. So to let go of that is almost like death. The vital tells you you're dying, you have no. And fear comes in. What are you going to do when you fall sick? What are you going to do with your children? So I need a little bit. So to let actually go and trust, that's one thing. To be in matter, to enjoy matter, to use matter without owning it, that's a very new concept. The other thing is education, to unending, that you continuously learn. I'm learning by looking at you. And we don't get any diploma, we don't get any. Now, we shouldn't handicap our children. If they want to become a doctor or an engineer and we don't have the training here, we can give them something if they want. But it should not be our prime aim to end up with a certificate. And the third one is definitely a collective governance based on the psychic being, what he calls a governance by the soul. And this is what is being, the churning is happening now. And in the old Vedic picture, the churning of Brahma using the Naga, churning the ocean, the first thing which emanates is the poison.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shiva has to swallow the poison before the Amrit comes.
So are we waiting for Shiva?
Well, let me see, have you got a blue throat? No,
yeah.
You don't have a blue throat. No, but I don't want to glorify, and there are many things which are unsavory, many things which are upsetting. It doesn't mean that, you know, you wake up at 2 o'clock in the night and you are bothered. Everybody is, people falling
sick.
Yeah,
and it's true that there is poison nowadays.
Yeah, it is. And we can't go around, the blame game is too old-fashioned. You see, the thing is, in the world of duality, there's always somebody, but we are wanting to reach, and that's where maybe the end of our we read, there is a oneness. I had one very strong message from Sat Prem, in which he said to me, we are all tired of duality. It is not unity. It is a fierce burning oneness, which is the raison d'être of Auroville. So this oneness, it is very painful, but I think we are slowly being molded, beaten into something where we can identify behind our differences something which is the common, same, one base, no?
Wonderful. Thank
you. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Frederick.